then we began a little excursion into life qualities or things that are associated with life. John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. He hasn't come so that your life would be filled with trouble and stress and pain, but he came that you might have a better life. Praise God. This is part of that quest for wisdom that we've been involved in, because he really does build up the house and establish it. This morning we looked at the fact that the writer of Ecclesiastes declared that the whole duty of man was to fear God and to obey his commandments. And in our studies, we found that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And so we took a little trip this morning through 1 John, and we saw that God equated your love for him with your obedience to the commandments. And he equates your love for him with your love for the brethren. So you can't get around this. If you're going to do business with God in a quality experience, you have to love this and you have to love people. You have to obey this and you have to love people. And the proof text, he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. This is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. And so everything comes down to that summary in Ecclesiastes. This is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. We touched the exchange between the scribe and Jesus in the book of Luke and also in the book of Matthew. And the scribe said, what's the most important commandment? And Jesus said, there's only one God, and you've got to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And on this hangs all the law and the prophets. He said, everything in the law and all sacrifices are trumped, or you could say fulfilled, by loving God and loving men, having it together vertically and horizontally. Loving God and loving people. If you do that well, then you're fulfilling all the commandments in the Word of God. Praise God. Praise God. Now we're working on that because we're looking at the Proverbs, and we're going to be moving through qualities that are associated with a life that is built upon the wisdom and the understanding of the Word of God. Praise God. And we're gonna deal with this just a little bit tonight. I'm grateful for the presence of God in the house, and I'm glad for what we've already experienced in praise and in worship and in word. But we're gonna make our way through the word a little bit more tonight. Why don't you just give him some praise and love him a little bit more? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Wisdom, then, is the primary thing. And with all you're getting, get understanding. We found that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and that wisdom comes by instruction. Now, that's where we've been for weeks, and that's a summary of those things, but it distills this thing down to something concrete that you can actually do, not some abstraction that you have to wonder about. But you can do this. You can live for God, and you can have the quality of life that the Word of God promises you. Before we're done here, you can have peace in your home. You can have life and that more abundantly. God brought you out of death so that you could have life, and not just life, but abundant life, and not just abundant life, but more abundant life. Now that is the will of God. I don't know where you've been living. I don't know what the devil or the world has told you that you have to satisfy yourself with. But I want you to know every chapter in the book, every chapter, every verse, every line, every promise is true. Somebody say praise the Lord. And if the word of God says you can have it, friend, you can have it. And we're going to get there by instruction and by developing an attitude about things that are not like God. Praise the Lord. We read this morning in 4 and 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This is profound in a lot of ways. But tonight I want you to consider the fact that all of life is as you respond to it. Stop trying to change the circumstance. Stop trying to change your husband or your wife. Stop trying to change your boss. And start trying to change your heart. Because the most powerful variable in the equation of living for God is my response. You say, well, the problem's not me, but Jesus said, you take care of your own eye first and then deal with your brother. You say, well, the problem's not me. I come to God and I offer things up to God, but God said, you leave that gift on the altar and go take care of your situation with your brother. Get that animosity out of your heart. Get that hardness out of your heart. The issues of life come out of your heart. He said, guard it carefully. Now, we talked about this from one perspective this morning, but I want you to back off and look at this and understand that the issues of life are controlled to a great degree by the condition of your heart. Praise God. Oh, you don't think so? I offer you Job on his face, destroyed. Blessed is the name of the Lord. I offer you Abram climbing the mountain of God with his only son in tow. And he said, we're going to worship. God asked him for more than most of us could ever hope to offer up to God. And he said, this is not sacrifice, this is worship. I offer you Habakkuk, who said the crops are dead and the flocks are dead and everything that can go wrong is wrong. Yet will I praise, I will joy in the God of my salvation. I'm telling you, the biblical standard, the biblical prototype is that when trouble comes, you decide to what degree trouble is going to have its way with you. The issues of life come out of your heart. I offer you Paul and Barnabas, or Paul and Silas, chained to a wall at midnight in the dungeon. And they said, you can't have my song. You can't have my joy. I'm going to praise God regardless. The dungeon was the same for everybody. The darkness was the same for everybody. But the praise came out of their heart. What are you doing in the middle of your storm? What are you doing in the middle of your darkness? What are you doing in the middle of your trouble? Guard your heart. Because out of it are the issues of life. Don't let the circumstance leach into your heart. Don't let the darkness leach into your heart. Don't let the hopelessness around you leach into your heart. I don't care if everybody's falling around you. You don't have to fall. I don't care if everybody's sad around you. You don't have to be sad. I don't care if everybody around you is depressed. You don't have to be depressed. I'm telling you, guard your heart. You're my friend and I love you, but what you got is not going to get on me. You're my friend. I've got a promise in the Word of God, and I'm going to guard my heart. My God, somebody ought to just shout all over your trouble right now. Somebody ought to shout over that bad report right now. Somebody ought to shout over that loved one that's fallen. Somebody ought to shout over that situation that looks hopeless. You ought to just shout and say, you can't have my heart. You can't have my joy. You can't have my song. Praise God. Praise God. Guard your heart. Because the issues of life are controlled by the condition of my heart. Praise God. Praise God. I'm telling you, the circumstances don't rule. God rules. God rules. God is, no, come on, you're settling in to settle for less. But I'm telling you tonight that God is in charge. And it ain't over till God says it's over. And the story's not finished until God says it's finished. And the end is not in sight. There's still a promise. There's still a word. There's still a name above every name. There's still that Holy Ghost and fire. My God. Ah, Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, keep your heart with all diligence. Now listen, we're talking about qualities of life associated with the book of Proverbs, but qualities that are associated with life as depicted by the book of Proverbs. 6 and 23, the commandment, and we talked about this morning, the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The commandment is a lamp and the law is light. And we talked about this from a certain perspective this morning, but I want this to shine into my life, because I'll guarantee you everything that's going wrong in my life, the Word of God has something to say about it. And reproof of instruction are the way of life. What does that mean? That means that to get from where you are to where you want to be personally, or in the sense of your family, or in relationship, or in your success in material things, or in your pursuit of life, or in any endeavor of life, reproof of instruction is the way of life. And he's already said, I came so you could have life. I called you out of death, but I don't want you just to have life. I want you to have abundant life, and I want you to have more abundant life. Somebody in here has already settled in for the rest of the journey, and you've just determined you're going to be miserable and cold and empty and alone, but that's not the word of God for you tonight. The reproof of instruction are the ways of life. A reproof says, that's not the way. You got to go another way. And when I take ownership of that, I change my life. Quit looking to change your circumstance. Quit looking to change your husband. Quit looking to change your wife. Stop looking to change your boss. The change that needs to happen is the most difficult change to embrace, but it's the change that has to happen down on the inside. I can't make Sister Sutton be or do anything, but I can determine what my level and quality of life experience in the kingdom of God is going to be. I can say to whoever is my most significant influence in my life, I can say I love you and I want to live with you and I want us to have harmony and I want everything to be good. But let me tell you what, the Word of God has said that I can have life. You can come with me or you can get left behind. It says I can have more abundant life. My God, my boss can't put out that promise. My circumstance can't put out that promise. My wife, my husband can't put out that promise. If I want it, God says I can have it. Praise God. Does anybody believe it? So then, again, this is not some abstraction. This is a concrete principle that can be applied. So then the challenge is to hear the reproof, or by study, find the reproof in the Word of God and apply it to my life. To find the reproof in the Word of God and apply it to my life. I'll give you just simple. We're going to meddle in every area of your life before we're out of the book of Proverbs. But I'll just give you a simple shot here. If you're singing an old bitter, sad song every day, you've got to stop that. If you're griping and complaining every day, you've got to stop that. If you're fussing and cussing at everybody in your house, you've got to stop that. Your quality of life will never be richer with that coming out of your mouth, which is the voice of your heart, because the mouth speaks the abundance of the heart, and out of the heart are the issues of life. You've got to hear the reproof today. If it's not building up, stop saying it. If it's not increasing faith, quit saying it. I know about failures and disasters. Get over it. Get past it. You can't talk it into non-existence. You can't talk it into not having happened. So what do I begin to do? Sing the new song. Sing the new song. He gave you a new song. Start singing praise unto your God. You may not be able to say anything good about the other person. Start singing praise unto God. Just quit saying the negative. Quit saying the thing that tears down. Quit talking about the thing that undermines. Come on. Find the instruction. Find the reproof and apply it to your life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm going to quit in just a minute here. 8:35. For whoso findeth me, this is wisdom talking again in the personification passage. For whoso findeth me findeth life. When you find the wisdom of the word of God, which is the fear of the Lord, which is an attitude of hatred toward evil, you find life. So God is talking to us. As we open up this word, it's not by chance. It's not by coincidence. We're not just happening to be gathered here handling. We are the people of the Most High God. We have the anointing of God. We've come together to worship here Him and to hear His word. And He's directing our path and He's ordering our steps. And He's teaching us that when we find wisdom, which is the fear of the Lord, which is the hatred of evil, that we found life. And He never tells you anything empty and without purpose. So then He's telling us some of our troubles are because we're still embracing evil in our lives. Some of our troubles individually and in families is because we're dancing with the wrong things. Well, praise the Lord. But He said, whoso findeth me, if you can find wisdom, which is the hatred of evil, if you can get an attitude about evil, you can begin to build life in your own personal experience, in your family, and in your church family. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And shall obtain favor of the Lord. 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And what we're doing here, we're just setting this up. We're going to have a discussion of life, but we're going to break life down to component parts. 11:30, the fruit of righteousness of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Praise God. Righteousness being the antithesis of evil, when you bear fruit in righteousness, it is a tree of life. Praise God. It breaks forth. Life then is not going to emerge from the outside. But the kingdom of God is within you. The issues of life are coming forth from within you. The greatest controlling factor in your personal universe is within you. So then when you develop standards and positions and behaviors against evil, and then you are righteous, that becomes a tree of life within you. You're going to begin to sprout life. Life's going to begin to break forth from within you. Praise God. Come on, if you've got the Holy Ghost, pat yourself right here and say, I've got the Holy Ghost. If you've got the Word of God inside, keep doing that and say, I've got the Word of God down inside of me. Well, you ought to begin to say, I have life and life more abundantly down inside of me. I want you to know that it's already in you. He prepared it from the foundation of the earth. You've got it down inside you. It's not some sort of a mysterious thing in a far-flung corner of the universe that you have to go and find, but it's in you right now. The project is to release it. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow a river of living water. Living water. The life that you need comes from in here. It came to you when the Holy Ghost came. Quit looking outside of you for the source of it. God's already breathed it into your life. The project now is to release it, is to recognize it, is to subdue the flesh and tear down the strongholds, which are all right here, and to change the patterns and the habits of a lifetime, and to resist the patterns and habits of the world around you, and to be a spokesman for the Word of God and a carrier of the banner of the Word of God. And the Word and the Spirit within you will become, what he says here, a tree of life. But look at 14 and 27. Fear of the Lord, which is the hatred of evil, which is equated with wisdom, is a fountain of life. When you find this instruction and you personalize it and you embrace it, it becomes within you a fountain of life, not only for your good and for your drinking, but for those around you. You'll start splashing out. You want to, I'm just telling you, if the problem is in the house with you, you release what God's put inside of you. It's going to wash over on somebody else. If it's on the job with you, you tend to business on the internal man, and you let that river of living water begin to flow, that fountain of life begin to be released. It's gonna get on those around. I'm telling you, you can make a difference in your home. You can make a difference in your job. You can make a difference in your school. But don't sit there sucking your thumb and say, well, if everybody else would get it together, I could live for God. It's got to happen down on the inside of you. You've got a fountain of life on the inside of you. Praise God. 22 and 4, and I'm gonna stop tonight. We're going to go on into peace, but I don't want to get into that tonight. It's the will of God for you to have peace in your life. If you got strife in your home, you're out of the will of God. Has anybody sung, He gives me peace in the midst of a storm-tossed life? Has anybody sung that? Anybody believe that? Praise God. Hurricane force winds can't rock what God put on the inside of us. Come on. Come on. I'm just telling you, it's a will of God for you to... I may go into this tonight. 22 and 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Don't know expressly what kind of riches he's talking about, but I feel like a rich man tonight because I have the kingdom of God in my life. Paul said, I've been abased and I've abounded, but I tell you, I'm content wherever I find myself because this Jesus I've got down on the inside of me is all I need. Praise God. If your financial situation steals your victory, you need more victory. You need a better level of victory. Come on. A poor man's got to have the victory of God. A rich man's got to keep the victory of God. It works for everybody. if I could just get some money, I could have victory. You'll never have victory. Because the river runs into the sea, the sea's not full, and you never will be satisfied. You're going to either be satisfied with this in God, or you will never be satisfied. But Paul, who had had it all, said, I found that whatever state I'm in, therein to be content. By humility and the fear of the Lord, a humble spirit. You got good, solid, biblical humility. You're so easy to get along with. You won't have strife with anybody. People might have strife with you, but you don't have strife back at them. It's a one-way street. I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry that's going on in your head and in your heart and your life, but it's not touching me. I'm bulletproof. I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. You can't touch me. You think I'm kidding, but it's got to be that way. It's got to be that way. You say, Brother Sutton, that's unrealistic. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. I'm telling you, you can implement the word of God, and it has real-time consequences. Praise God. And life. All right, let's introduce peace. I want to suggest to you the strife in your life, strife in your home, that is not the will of God. Well, I know it's not the will of God, and if everybody around me would change. Now, your heart, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Romans 14 and 17. Now, we're gonna do the treatment in Proverbs, but let's establish this. Everyone say, for the kingdom of God, it's not meat and drink. It's not the natural process. But it's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is. Kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you've got sin and you're full of strife and you don't have peace and you're not happy, you don't have the kingdom of God. Let me run through that again. If you don't have righteousness, which is obedience to the word of God, you don't have joy, and you don't have peace, that's three strikes, and you're out. But I got the Holy Ghost, and I got baptized, like they said, but I'm still miserable. I want you to go sit and hold Jimmy Green's hand, sing that song to him. Go tonight. Go right now. I don't care. I'll dismiss you out of the church house. But I'm miserable. And if you were going through what I'm going through, you'd be miserable too. Yeah. But the scripture places it. The word of God always puts the responsibility in your lap. It always, he will not let you squirm out of it and put it on somebody else. It's always your responsibility. My brother offended me. Forgive him. I came to you for relief. You're supposed to kill my brother. Nah, forgive him. Because when I talk to him, I'll talk to him about him. But when I'm talking to you, I talk to you about you. Because out of your heart are the issues of life. It's way too late in the. Now, I guess I should have stopped. Because you're looking at me like this is impractical, unreasonable. Impractical, unreasonable. John said, I was on the Isle of Patmos for the witness of God, for the testimony of Christ. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. No, you got to get Patmos. Patmos is a rock in the middle of the Mediterranean, and you go there to die. And he had been serving God all his life. He was the disciple that Jesus loved. We know that because he tells us that. And after all that service and after all of that suffering and all I've done for God, he got put on the Isle of Patmos to die. But that old man, and at that time he may have been cranking on in his 80s. And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I don't care about the prison island. My heart's still intact. My life is still flowing. The circumstances can't change me. The hatred and the oppression can't get inside of me. You can't take what God gave me. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. All the other prisoners were cussing and fussing and having a bad time. But John got off in the Holy Ghost and he had a vision that we still rejoice about today. I heard a voice behind me like a trumpet. I turned around. I know that was long ago, and I know that's not you. And I know you're a special case. And I know the joy of God can't penetrate the darkness that enshrouds you. And I know the peace of God can't come to where you are because you're special. And your brokenness is special brokenness. And your pain is a special pain. And you're, Brother Sutton, you're being hard-hearted. I am not. You've got to shake yourself and get up out of that junk. You got to shake yourself and come out of that cave. You got to shake yourself and get in the Spirit. You'll lose your soul. You'll lose your hope. You'll lose your joy. Well, praise God. I want somebody to shout on your trouble right now. I mean, if you got some trouble, shout on it. I want somebody to shout on the bad report right now. My God, I want somebody to shout on the darkness right now. Give me some help. Come on, somebody needs to tell him, you will not steal my joy. You cannot have my joy. I've got peace like a river down in my soul. I've got joy like a river down in my soul. Praise God. Now we're going to get into peace next time we get together. But I want to take it just a little further. Everybody say the kingdom of God is righteousness. Tell your neighbor you got to get the sin out your life. You can't have the joy and the life of God with sin. All right. And peace. Say it's peace. Say the kingdom of God. Tell somebody the kingdom of God is peace. If you're stressed out and burned out and all nerved out, you got to let the kingdom of God break loose in your life. Come on now, I'm not reading to you out of a Marvel comic book. I'm reading to you out of the Word of God. God said he had peace for you. Now, if you don't believe this, you take it up with God. Leave me alone. Oh, I mean, I'm feeling it. But I'm telling you, it bounces right off. I got Kevlar all around me tonight. And what the song is. But if you knew what I'm going through and what I've seen, you sound like Bill Clinton trying to explain why he didn't get a middle class tax cut done. I worked harder on that than I've ever worked on anything. Oh, sorry, I'm waxing political. Excuse me. Forget it. Philippians 4. God died for you to have this. Have it. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Everyone say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, duplicate. I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes when you feel right, when the circumstances are sunny, when everybody loves you, when your husband's doing right, when your wife's doing everything right, always, always. And again, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. All right, verse 6. Would you say, be careful for nothing? Be anxious for nothing. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, don't worry about it. Worry never did a thing but rob you of your joy. Worry doesn't have any strength at all. It's a thief that steals your victory. Be careful for nothing. But here's the solution. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I don't have an answer for this, but give me a minute. I know somebody who does. I don't have a provision for this, but give me a minute. I know somebody who does. I would submit to you that if you're suffering from anxiety and you're suffering from inordinate stress, I'm going to submit it to you that your prayer time is a pity party. You're spending your time in prayer saying, oh, God, it's so miserable down here. Oh, God, when you're not getting that river of life cranked up that way, all you're doing is rehearsing the trouble. You're using your prayer meeting for a worthless exercise. It's worse than worthless. It's negative. It's going in the wrong direction. You okay? Don't use your prayer for that. Get your list together. Bring it before God. Shout, he said, and with thanksgiving. All prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. I believe, God, you got the power over my enemy. I believe, God, you got the answer to my circumstance. I believe, God, you got joy, and you're going to give it to me because your word says it. Come on, does anybody believe that God is God and he's able? Praise God. And when you do that, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart, because out of your heart are the issues of life, and minds, because the strongholds happen in your mind, the battle is in your mind, through Christ Jesus. So if I just take all the crushing pressure and I lift it up before God, all the negative reports, all the bad things that are happening around me, and I lift it up to God with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, the Bible says, somebody say, the Bible says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind. Huh. Praise God. You're all worried and anxious. The devil can go to the Bahamas. He doesn't have to worry about you, because you're sitting there. He's got you wound up, and you're going to run for days and days. He doesn't have to worry about you. Praise God. We're going to talk about this a little more and deal with the Proverbs concerning peace. It is the will of God that you have peace in your life. Even if you're on a prison island, even if God's asked you for more than you're able to give, even if everything around you that can go wrong has gone wrong, the scriptural pattern is that you can walk in peace, because peace is one of the pillars of the kingdom of God. Praise God. I want you to come down around the altar tonight, and I want you, if You are needing peace. If you have a circumstance that assaults the joy of God in your life, if you have a person that you're having difficulties with, whatever the negative drain is, I want you to come down in the altar for you. If you're first, now you got to come up on these steps because there's not room. Come on up here. Come on up. And I want you to begin to worship and magnify God. And I want you to get it right in your heart. God, I know that there are those around me that are troubling me, but the problem is in my heart. God, I'm going to shout and give you praise and worship. Come on. I want you to pray that prayer right now. It's not my circumstance. God's bigger than my circumstance. It's not the people around me. God's bigger than the people around me. Turn this altar into a place of praise and worship. Come on. Praise God. Somebody pray with authority over your circumstance. Somebody pray with authority. God. All right. Turn to somebody by you. Tell them what you're going to do. You're about to pray for them that they'll walk in anointing, peace, and joy, and righteousness. You're going to pray for them they'll be bulletproof, that they'll have joy like a river. They'll have peace that passes all understanding. Come on. Pray for your brother, your sister right now. Somebody just prayed for you. Let's receive it. Let's praise Him. Let's worship Him. Let's magnify Him for it. Praise God. Clap your hands unto Him and lift up a voice of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, knew it. We didn't come to the house to beat up. We didn't come to the house to make fun of you. I came to challenge you that you rise up and experience. Walk in what God has made available. Praise God. Praise God. There's a prayer meeting here tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. There's a prayer meeting here Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. There's a youth prayer meeting at Smoothie Joe's tomorrow night. God is moving in this city. I want to tell you, in the middle of the summertime here, we've had the highest attendance at church we've ever had in the 20-year history of this church. In the middle of the slump of summer. Praise God. And God is doing wonderful things. Now, listen. Hear the reproof. Hear the instruction. personalize it, and change the way you're doing business. God's got peace and joy for everybody in this house. God bless you. Love you. Glad to be in the house of the Lord with you.